podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Paddock Podcast with Adam McCullough, Stephen Howson, Jay Motti and me, Joe Smith. We are live with the Paddock Podcast every single Monday at 4 p.m. on YouTube. The Paddock Podcast title sponsor is Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming. Enjoy this week's show.
I'm alive. You know I'm alive, don't you, Jay?
Of course I do.
Of course you do.
What happened there?
I don't know. There's a hand on my shoulder.
That's what I'm like.
You were healing.
Pals' wives all over the world are going, lucky Jay.
Lucky man.
Sound a bit jealous there.
Me? I didn't know what he'd done. How could I be jealous?
I was on about the whole healing thing.
Touch my flank.
Healing.
My loin.
Is that a Johnny Depp reference?
No.
Walk the flank. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Hey, listen.
What are we talking about today, Jay?
Triple entendres, coming.
Yeah.
Nice.
More on tundras than I've had at dinners, mate.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Like me on a Sunday after an out.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm lost now.
I don't know what's going on. Jay, what are we talking about today? Come on.
Because I starved, didn't
What
I
is this show?
Right, this show is apparently even, can't even say my words, the Paddock Podcast with me, Jay Motti, the Housewives favourite, Alex Bagley, Joe Smith, my trusty sidekick and partner in crime, and one half of the Tier 1 Transfer Podcast, which will be returning very soon. Mr. Ronaldo Brown is also available. Well, not available. Featuring on the XG Files, I believe. Yeah?
He got replaced this week, didn't he?
Oh, not spinned off.
Yeah, he got subbed.
You did?
Spinned off, yeah.
Story of your career, isn't it? Yeah. What's going on?
Had a dig there. You
know what I mean?
It's harsh, that.
Come on, man.
Story of my career.
Oh, he's done you there. He's absolutely done you there. It's a sign
of time. Is that another Paddock FC? That's what
it's it was a Paddock FC reference.
Hey, right, okay. Listen, I don't want to fall out of you.
Joel had my back there. He said, Joel?
Joel.
Wow.
I ain't got anyone's
Joel,
back who don't know my fucking name.
There he is. That lad over there that we know. Hey,
I might have literally given
him. Andy Saint calls him Paul. He sent him a message saying, thanks, Paul.
No, he didn't. He texted me, right? He texted me. He was coming in for the watch along. And he just texted me saying, good afternoon, Paul. What town do you want me in? And then afterwards, he put, Joe.
You know what's funny about that, though? You can actually imagine him there trying to think, what's his name again?
It was on Facebook. My name was at the top of the text.
Amazing.
He's just gone for ball.
I'll get him up anyway.
Gonna be hopeless. He said sign of the times, so he's helping me out there.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. He's doing you a favour, reminding you of some of the great things you've got coming up in your life. Speaking of great things coming up, Jay, what's coming up in this podcast?
We're going to be talking about Erik ten Hag takes over at Manchester United today. Is it officially today, or is he just... Because I know he's cancelled his contract with Ajax, and he's in the UK, I believe, but he's not in Manchester. That was the latest report I've read, unless it's changed. But he's not, like... In his office, obviously, he's not in Manchester. And it is Ralph Radnick in charge until after the Palace game, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He's doing a bit of shadowing. He's just putting his hand in a little bit.
So he's starting his work, but he's not starting as like manager yet.
Right, okay. Yeah,
so Radnick is going to be the manager till the end of the season.
Yeah.
Apparently Ten Hag, I think it was Rob Dawson, was saying that he's going to be working from the Netherlands until the season ends.
Okay.
So it's not going to be the case that he's like... I wouldn't have done it like that.
Yeah.
No.
Is that how you're
going to
do it?
Oh,
that's quite... No, well, you're going to play him there?
Oh, a press. Oh, that's press.
Oh, you're actually going to pick him?
Gegenpress, yeah, we used to do that.
Some would say that's a bit crazy, but
we used to do a bit of Gegenpress.
You're in charge.
With the under-8s. Sorry, you do it with the adults, though, if you want. Whatever.
You're all right, Ronaldo. You look confused.
That was me.
I'm not repeating that.
That was us. Yeah, right. Forget that. Yeah, so apparently he's sort of looking at United now, looking at what's going wrong, which is going to probably take him about 6 months. And we've been linked with some players because he's done an interview, hasn't he? I mean, let's address the elephant in the room. He said some things in this interview which he probably shouldn't have said, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
But he's also spoken about transfers. He said about Antony. So we're going to talk about that. Timber. And there's a god-awful Pitbull type song doing the rounds.
It's not really doing the rounds, I don't think. I think we would make it be doing the rounds more by talking about
it.
Nip it in the bud.
Right.
Have you been on K7 as well?
Is that I saw it, yeah, sorry. And his own little echo chamber with Gareth Hart, whoever it is. And I'm like, what is... And then Adam Patterson joins in. Oh, and I'm like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Sing the song, Jay?
No.
You not,
no? I went to see Britney Spears.
You literally just named.
Because I'm proper cool.
Right, okay.
And Pitbull was a support act, and it was in Blackpool, and he came out and said, hello, Liverpool. And then she came out and said, hello, Birmingham.
Who was it? Gareth Hart, Casey Evans,
and Patterson. Adam Patterson. Yeah. So we'll get into all that as well. And we're also talking. Oh, guess what? As well, we're talking about the new ITK guy. Mm. The news in the eyes.
He's in the know.
In the house.
Yeah. This guy's in the know.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing?
What have you done that for?
Still a coffee.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
This is
don't
great.
Worry about it.
Not very sober as fucking.
Are you drunk?
You just admitted that you're currently drunk.
That's not my fault. Yeah, Stephen Alston has been quoted off Fabrizio Romano.
God, that's you know the times.
Why has he been quoted as well with news that you told me this morning?
I just guessed.
You, did you?
You no, just guessed.
I know. I said
that's how ITK's
it
worked.
Looks like yeah. It looks good that Steve McLaren will join United.
Because when he said that, I said I was angry at you.
Yeah.
Because I was like, Backer's had that this morning. I mean, no.
But didn't we all have it last week? We had it last week on Wednesday.
Yeah,
we've known he was signing since last week.
My inkling and source is the same as Housen.
I know.
Which is just annoying.
But he's. Do you reckon he's gone? How's it going? You all right? What? All right.
I said to him, I said, this is the thing gone.
Steve's got a source close to the information.
Are you one of your?
I can tweet that. Yeah, I'll tweet that. You sure I can tweet? Yeah. Down.
And that's probably the first time
First time they've met. Anyway.
Yeah. So Steve tweeted about Steve McLaren, so we'll be getting into that as well. Also, we want to hear from you lot. Get involved in the chat and the comments. Let us know about any stories you may have heard, any comments you want to make, any potential transfers you'd like to see happen, all that jazz. Get into all that. And I want to do a little shout out, if I may, Joe. Is that all right?
Of course.
I've got a link here. This is this is for a charity thing my friend's involved.
The link is in the comments as well.
The link's in the comments. And it's a fundraiser. Basically, it's on behalf of a lad called Steve Coy, who passed away, and it's for the British Heart Foundation. He's a coach. He managed Ermston Meadowside, which is a club not far from where I sort of grew up and went to school. He was a steward at Manchester United as well, I think for about 19 years, so he's put some shifts in. So they're having a charity game on the 31st of July, and they're looking to raffle some items as well, raise some money, all for a great cause and for a big red as well. I think Ryan Hopper knows him as well. So there's a link in the description. If you can give them a bit of support, if you can get down there as well, it's on Trafford FC on the 31st of July, and it's Meds Eagles versus Ermston 11. So that's a proper M41 tastic game, and it's all in aid of a good cause as well.
Yep.
So we'll be supporting it, and if you can do, get down there or click on the link. Yeah. Thank you, my friend.
Great stuff. Should we talk about Timber? Should we start with him? Well, you
whilst you throw your coffee
all over
the
place.
I've got no choice now. I'm like, what do you mean? You can't blame me, no.
Go on then, Ronaldo. Hey,
I know what that was for. That was for my little thing dig before, and you held it right for 10 minutes. You waited for your perfect chance. You're clever. You're a clever man, you. I know about you. And he thinks he's funny now. Watch this. And then you waited.
So basically, you're trying to tell the audience that 10 minutes ago, I realised that you.
You knew and you waited.
Jay Motti is a snitch.
Not that. Look, you blow yourself up. No.
Shall we get on to Timber, shall we?
For what?
Before let's get on
is
to
is this something you can't tell us?
Can't tell you.
Let's move on.
Let's move.
I want to know.
Swiftly. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
No, we won't.
You got to be ITK. You got to be ITK, mate.
I'm part of tier one.
Great ITK one. Sorry, bro.
Timber, I know you must have some thoughts on this guy.
Because this is
right up your wheelhouse. This is... This
wow,
this
you,
is
you lot most, over there. You've probably got an opinion on him.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Because if there's one thing you like,
what's happened here?
One thing you like, Ronaldo, it's slightly obscure.
Probably know him.
Hang on, actually. How old is he? No, you're not even the same age. You like an obscure stats-based research into a player that not everyone's heard of.
Oh,
you love an FB ref
yeah.
of a player like you're
into. Obviously, scouting goes much beyond just metrics. There's obviously got to be eye test as well. Not seen much of him. I tried to use a bit of Wii Scout, but I did see an FB ref screenshot a couple of months ago about his Champions League performances from as a centre-half, and literally he was in the 99% half for literally every single metric of on the ball play.
Yeah.
That's basically what's been described about him.
Well, that's what I'm seeing here. Yeah, passes and pass completion, progressive passes, progressive carries, dribbles completed, and progressive passes received. He's in the 97th percentile or above for all of those.
Yeah. The only issue is obviously his height, which everyone knows about.
Ariel's one is only in the fifth percentile.
Which is not an issue. People have kind of compared it to the fact that you've got the likes of Alaba playing centre-half and Thiago Silva, but they're obviously...
He's 5'10" for an under.
Bit of a difference. 5'10" You got. How tall is Thiago Silva, by the way?
I don't think he's that small.
Thiago Silva's like 6'4", I think.
Or maybe less. Alaba's centre half, and he's 5'11".
Daley Blind used to do a decent job back in the day. He was very, you know, he's what, 5'8".
But he wasn't a top centre back, was he? He was a decent player for a shit team.
If he's struggling like that aerially,
that's a good point.
If Timber's struggling like that aerially in the Eredivisie, then he's going to struggle even more in a Premier League, which is probably an issue. That's why people are talking about maybe he'd be a bit of an auxiliary CDM if you don't get one. Because obviously he's got the ball playing ability to play there. Ooh. Does he have the kind of the...
I mean, imagine that. Imagine like we actually bought someone and made them into a CDM that's good, instead of getting someone who's not a CDM.
People have been arguing that. Would you rather get someone that's kind of a specialist in a position that you're buying them for, rather than someone that can play a little bit everywhere? Because people say that he might be able to play right back as well.
Really?
Blind was like that. He played left back a lot. He played in midfield a few games. Played centre half. And Jose came in. No. We don't do that here. You play one position, and that's it. Off you go. And that's where. He got moved on from. If he could do a job like that, though, I don't understand why you don't have players like that. You look at how City have got it. Fernandinho's played at centre-half and centre-midfield this year. You've had Delph played in midfield for them and then moved
Cancelo
to left-back.
Plays left-back, right-back, centre-mid.
All over the place.
Yeah.
They're handy players to have if you can get someone that can do all.
They are handy. He is extremely well-rated in terms of what Van Gaal rates him highly. Obviously, Ten Hag does. It looks like he's the main one that Ten Hag wants to bring along. He's obviously only 20 years old. He's got room to grow as well.
Just as a quote on that, sorry, Ten Hag said, "I think all top clubs have Timber in their sight." So that's when you're talking about how highly he rates it.
Do you think that that's a sort of indication that we're going for him?
It's not a denial, is it?
It should be, because another one I said, someone that was close to like the Dutch national team apparently was kind of clamoring for Timber to actually start in the World Cup alongside Van Dijk ahead of I can't remember his name. It's someone that Delit.
Yeah.
Because he's that good.
Maybe this is, how old is this kid? 20, yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, we've always moaned, haven't we, like, over the last few years, that we buy players sort of when they've 25 or 24, 25, whatever, when they're now ready for the big move. Mm. Maybe we need to buy them one step before. Mm-hmm. So rather than say Timber went to Spurs or to Leicester or Villa and then
or
smashed
Liverpool.
It. Yeah. Well, no. Smashed
Dortmund.
It. Yeah. Yeah, smashed it there, and then he became worth 90 million quid. Then we'd buy him in 3 years' time or whatever. Maybe we do need to start trying to get in there a bit sooner, because this kid looks like he's obviously on the verge of big things. Mm. He's doing well anyway.
So you've got world-class potential. Definitely.
Yeah, so it's now the time where we have to go, okay, because we haven't got unlimited funds, do we go for the players like this who are a bit more of a gamble, because you don't know whether he could sort of manage it in the cut and thrust of the Premier League, but the sort of, and the positive side is you're not paying the world record fees for him.
The good thing is he's played first team football a lot, though. You look at the other players we've signed, the opposite end of that, you've signed like Ahmad and Palestri, when you come in and you've gone, they've not played any first team football.
That's too far to the
We don't even know whether they can handle it at full level yet. They don't know whether they can handle it at that kind of level, whereas Timber is, 20 years old, played Champions League, played in the Eredivisie. He can play at that level. It's not like, he might not be physical.
That's why context is important, because when we're comparing it to players going to the likes of Leicester, Tottenham and lesser clubs, and their transfer value increases when they play well. Them clubs are able to have a little bit more leeway in terms of signing those kind of unknowns or those diamonds, whereas United have this kind of win now mentality.
Yeah, because also if Leicester sign a player that's only as good as, let's say, Dan James, who is a signing that United have made in the last 5 years, it doesn't matter that they finish seventh, because that's where they're expected to finish. Yeah. If United sign enough players that make us finish seventh, your manager gets sacked.
Yeah.
So managers don't want to take the risk of a Dan James or, a Dan Juma or whatever, because if it goes wrong, you're sacked. Whereas if it goes wrong at Leicester, you finish ninth, we thought you'd probably finish sixth, not the end of the world. Like, they have a wider range of positions that are acceptable.
That's similar to, it's not the same as, but it's similar to what the point Jose made when he was at Chelsea. You know, like, he had Salah and he had De Bruyne.
Yeah.
And they weren't quite ready yet for that top level.
Yeah, yeah.
And he went, like, people go, well, you let Salah go, you let De Bruyne go. And he's like, my job isn't to plan for the future. I'm at Chelsea. I've got to win. And he won the title that season. Yeah. He's like,
if I don't win the title this season,
I get sacked. You got sacked the next season anyway.
Yeah.
So like, he's like, oh yeah, they might be ready in 2 or 3 years. I haven't got 2 or 3 years. Mm. I've got the here and now.
Well, that's the difference. Hopefully Ten Hag does have 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Because just as a question to put out there, this guy who's got great potential, everyone in Europe, all the top clubs have their sight on him. Had any of you heard of him, or had any of you heard of United being linked with him until we had Ten Hag as manager?
No.
Is the fact that he plays for Ajax the biggest factor in this transfer?
It was a lot. It was a lot to do with the fact that when we knew Ten Hag was coming, even before it was officially confirmed, people were like, "Oh, maybe he's going to have like a little bit of a honey dip in terms of bringing players."
Because managers do that.
Yeah, and generally it would be beneficial because we're going to see a complete philosophy change, and we're going to see him introduce the Ten Hag way. It's going to be easy if you bring players that you've worked with, or that players that know your tendencies, know what you require. That's why the whole De Jong thing kind of makes sense, because he's played under him. Managers want players that they can trust. There's been a massive trust player to manager issue over United in the past few years. If he does bring in someone from Ajax, it makes perfect sense, because then it kind of starts that kind of cultural change in terms of players that the manager likes, that's won stuff with him, that's progressed. I think it's quite a common thing with managers.
It is a common thing. Like, we saw obviously Moyes bring Fellaini. We saw Jose bring Matic.
It's a shame as well, because you're right. I agree with everything you said.
Van Gaal brought every Dutch player.
Well, that's the thing about with Van Gaal. I don't think we did tap into that.
Do you not?
Like, because, well, I don't think he was in charge of signings, because like Herrera, Luke Shaw, those weren't his signings. I mean, we brought under Herrera and he left him on the bench for 4 months. We brought in Angel Di Maria. He played him up front. Like these, Luke Shaw, you're telling me that whilst Van Gaal was managing, was it FC 20, not FC 20, where was it?
Was it AZ Alkmaar?
Yeah, sort of whatever it was where he won the Dutch league. I think it was AZ, I think you're right. Then he goes to the World Cup. Whilst that's all going on, he's monitoring the left back at Southampton.
No,
and making him his priority signing.
They were already done, weren't
they? Yeah, that's what I mean. I think like you know, everything from Falcao to Schweinsteiger to Schneiderlin, it felt like these were signings that someone else was forcing, or not forcing, but making for him.
Yeah.
I don't know if he necessarily tapped into his knowledge. I know we bought, obviously, it was it Daley Blind who came on his watch in Memphis. But again, those were... Memphis was an obvious one, wasn't it? Everyone was raving about him at the time.
Yeah.
But I don't think we fully got the benefit of his knowledge.
No, maybe not.
Do you know what I mean? It felt like we just threw loads of transfers at him.
Yeah.
And then you could see it when he had like Wayne Rooney in midfield, Herrera on the bench, and Di Maria up front. I mean, you're like, what are you doing here?
He didn't look like he was trying to fit things together for Van Gaal, because he was like playing different systems constantly changing things. And but that's felt like the way all the way through. Even Jose, he never felt like he had his team. There was still Pogba going, well, does he want
him? He wanted Maguire.
He did want Maguire. And
I think he would have been great under Jose. Yeah, sitting back, defending.
And you know,
you made football,
this point, Joe, all the time. And it's
winning
really,
headers for
it's
nine
a really
minutes.
Good one. And people might think it's nonsense, but I agree with it. It's the fact that if we'd got Harry Maguire 50 million, it's so different to getting him from a year. It changes the narrative so much.
30 million, Jay.
Yeah, and he's no longer the most expensive defender. He's no longer had all this World Cup thing behind him. He's not as hyped as everyone says. He's no longer coming into a team that's sort of rebuilding under a new manager. It's sort of, he's like one of the final pieces.
And it would have been before Van Dijk as well. And you wouldn't have had that like, comparison of who he is.
It would have been like, such a different narrative.
The pressure that someone like Eric Bailly gets put on him, and obviously he's been injured a lot, but no one's ever saying he hasn't lived up to his potential. He shouldn't, like the cost, the price, any of that. It's just like, it's a shame he's not played enough because he looks to be a good player.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have all the extra pressure that Maguire does, that Maguire doesn't seem to be capable particularly of taking on, which is, you know, not necessarily his fault, but it'd be good if he did. But that's not his fault that all that pressure gets put on him because of his price tag. But yeah, we just fuck things up and do things too. Like, talking about transfers, then Nunes is another one.
Yeah.
Linked again today. Talk apparently is going to be more like 60 million euros as the fee rather than the sort of 80, 90 that they were talking about at the start of the summer. Again, I'll start with you, Ronaldo, because I know you've probably done a bit of research into him. What are your thoughts on Nunes?
The 60 million Darwin price Nunes. Tag sounds... Do you believe that?
I don't know. Well, who's it? It come from? David Ornstein.
Ornstein's elite.
In terms of reliability. Yeah, yeah.
But in the current market, forward, on the rise, he's had a world-class season, he's 22. 60 million sounds like a bit of a bargain, to be honest with you. But especially with Benfica, apparently Portuguese teams can be quite difficult when it comes to transfers as well. But when it comes to Nunes, obviously we watched him. He did pass the Liverpool test. He did score home and away, and he did look really good. You could tell he was a little bit raw. The same questions that people are asking about Haaland and his build-up play and his kind of connectivity with the rest of his team, the same questions people have with Nunes when it comes to playing for United, because obviously Ten Hag is going to bring in that little bit of a possession-based style we're hoping for anyway.
Because if he does, not because I want us to see play possession necessarily, but if he doesn't, he's gone away from his values, which is playing possession based.
But he does like to have a bit of a striker with a bit of size, a bit of physicality that can be a focal point, and that's Sebastian Haller Yeah. He does like those kind of forwards. He did say he wants a versatile forward as well, so not necessarily someone that just plays up front. Nunes can play on the left as well, which is beneficial, which then people argue about because you want people that specialise in one single position. But he scored something like 34 goals in 41 games this season. No matter what level you're playing at, he's scored in the Champions League against big sides. It'd be a significant upgrade on what we've got right now. But I thought the price tag was going to be well higher than 60 million. Which I was kind of against because I didn't know whether that was his true value, if I was honest. I know he's a good player. He's got speed. He's got a good physicality about him. But I just think 80 million for the player, I'm not sure I would have liked that, especially with the amount of shoes that, not shoes, the amount of positions that United do need to fill at the moment.
Yeah. Just asking a question about that for you two. Talking back about the Maguire thing about most expensive defender ever, constantly compared to Van Dijk because of the similar fees. How much will Nunes get compared to Haaland this year if we sign him?
Because
it's almost the exact same fee. Was it 54 million quid, 60 million?
There's another another similarity between him and Haaland. People are talking about Haaland and his injury issues. Darwin Nunes has a lot of significant injury issues as well. He's 22. He's already had two knee surgeries.
Yeah,
in his career. So that's another thing that is slightly concerning.
So, but do you think that if he doesn't do as well as Haaland, are we just going to be on to a loser right from the start where the pressure is so high to beat Erling Haaland?
We can't be compared to Man City next season.
I'm not saying we want to. We're being compared to Liverpool.
But like Haaland's total fees is a lot more than...
Of course, but that goes out the window, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I know, and I understand what you're saying, and I know you're sort of asking a question to prove a point.
Yeah.
But I think for this kid, and I don't know, I presume there's going to be after some sort of rotation, or he's playing on the left with Ronnie still in the team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him coming in and Ronnie sitting on a bench for a 22-year-old who's never kicked a ball in the Premier League. So I do, and while it's Haaland will start,
and whilst he's going to, you know, Nunes would be on, what, let's guess, 150 grand a week, 200 grand a week, Haaland's on nearly triple that.
Yeah.
But it's the fee, it's the number,
and,
isn't it?
They might try and create that narrative.
If you sign Nunes for 60 million, he's going to start. He's going to be...
Do you think?
Yeah.
Well, on the left, or do you think? I don't know.
He can play on the left.
Because I don't... My thing is, do you think there's a case where Ten Hag doesn't start running?
I don't see it.
I don't either.
I think that's a conversation that Ronaldo's probably going to have.
And also, Ronaldo...
You're talking about yourself in the third person there?
Eh?
Ronaldo likes your question, Jay, but Ronaldo's going to have that conversation a separate time.
Fair enough. Can you ask Ronaldo if...
I'd love it if you started.
Do you do the same when you mention Jesus?
I do,
Oh, nice.
Wow.
I think as well, Ronnie's record stands up to scrutiny this season.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if you're just going off numbers and what he's done, he's put up the numbers, hasn't he? And whilst this season has been a disaster for Manchester United, his record's good.
It's just... Even if he's having a bad run of form and he's not playing well, as we've seen in patches this season with Ronaldo, he's not the one that's going to be able to accept that, or you might not be starting this game.
Well, so you're hoping that Ten Hag is strong enough to just go, because I felt this during the Everton game when early on the season when Ollie dropped Ronaldo. That was the news story. I mean, we were winning. We were doing all right. We weren't great.
I don't think Ollie recovered from that.
That was something that day, because he didn't start him, and then they conceded the goal, and then Ronaldo shaking his head coming off the pitch, and that was everything kind of flipped that
and
day.
The Fergie thing.
That was ridiculous because we won.
We came off
and we won. Ronaldo sat there going, why have you brought me off Brentford?
Rashford scored with almost his first
Score. That's what I thought you were talking about. But again, that day, the news story was Ronaldo subbed off. He's having to go at the manager. Yeah, you think the substitution worked exactly.
Ten Hag's biggest job, he had a question about this, about dealing with the press. I don't think he quite realises it yet, is that everything he does, if he rests a player, if he doesn't start Varane on the first day, if he starts Harry Maguire on the first day of the season, even if we win 3-0, that will be the news.
There probably will be a moan up if Harry Maguire starts.
I seen a ridiculous, stupid tweet the other day saying, "Oh, if he starts McTominay, Maguire next season, I'm done with him." I'm like, "Well,
be done with
news for story. He's going to play those players because they're going to be there next season. Harry Maguire's out the door. Like, what do you mean? That's the thing. That will be
that
the narrative.
Is a loss to the fan base.
No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that's going to be the narrative.
He probably doesn't literally mean that. It's just probably meaning he's as a fan, he's going to be severely disappointed if he sees McTominay and Maguire start.
Why are you going to be disappointed if you see Maguire and McTominay? You shouldn't.
Why the hell wouldn't I be disappointed?
You know, surely we're not.
Make Tommy and Maguire start.
We're not going to play. Have a whole new
Wait,
team.
Do you want me to be overjoyed? See, McTominay
no, I'm
going to
say if these they've come in, if they've come in and they've trained under Ten Hag and he goes, I still fancy them, and he plays them, then he's made the right decision. He knows more than we do. If that's the decision that's happened, you can't be disappointed.
I'll tell you right now, next season, if we've got options over the night, I see McTominay start, I'm going to be disappointed.
McTominay,
disappointed, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
He's going to play games. I reckon McTominay plays 40 games.
I think you've undersold.
Are you McTominay's PR team?
No, but I know he will, though.
I think you've undersold the tweet a little bit. It was like, it was pretty much, I'm done with this team or whatever. It was like,
yeah,
I'm
it was
not,
ridiculous.
Like, almost like I'm not being a fan anymore.
No.
Like, not disappointed. Yeah. Like, if it was disappointed, I think I'd be a bit disappointed in certain decisions.
Because it means we haven't got anyone back.
I'm not going to cancel my season ticket and go and start watching Sitter. No. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
but we're also not going to get 8 new players in, and these players are going to be big parts of the team next.
I'd rather see Thingy start over McTominay next season. Garner,
Jimmy Garner,
but he's not playing the Premier League yet, so we're going
to
wait.
I reckon
see.
If Forest get promoted, they should loan it back to Forest for a season.
I'm all
for loans. I said I could see that.
But
a
loan
if
would
they
be
got
better.
Promoted, but I don't think. They could do, but I feel like United are at a point now where with the midfield issues and. They might not be able to fill all the holes that they want to fill. I think they'll keep Garner. Mm. Especially, he showed enough.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Do you know what I mean?
Kartik Satish says, hi guys, are we being losers here by comparing Nunes with Haaland? Other fan base think so, that we are idiots. I was saying, are people going to do that because of the fee?
Of course they
will. I think it's unfair to do that, and I wouldn't do that myself. But that it's going to happen.
That's what rival fans do on Twitter.
Yeah, of course. Haaland, there's roughly the same fee, signed in the same transfer window if it does happen. They're going to be compared.
Because I remember Arsenal United did it with Varane and Ben White.
Yeah, exactly.
He just...
Maguire and Van Dijk, like I said.
Yeah, boom.
It's not necessarily like, you know, like you said, it's not us doing it. It's going to get done in it in certain ways. The media like to put Manchester United into a headline anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if Alan scores a hat-trick and Nunes hasn't scored, you can imagine there will be headlines with Nunes in it.
Speaking of headlines, Jay.
Yes.
Someone's here.
Oh, you said hairline then.
Wow. What's happening?
Oh, that would have made sense.
Have you not read the latest news? Baldism is a thing.
Yeah, it's assault. Harassment even. The sun is shining, shirts are off, and your balls are smooth.
Yes.
Is that right?
It's never a true word has been spoken.
You heard that right. Your friends at Manscaped are here to make sure your beach balls are as smooth as Floridian/Cleethorpian sand.
Yeah, I prefer Cleethorpian sand. Yeah, actually. Yeah. Stephen also pointed out Floridian is where the glazers are.
Yeah, and therefore all the sand is tainted by the glazers. Yeah.
What is that? What the glazers called?
Yeah, do you know?
It's
like,
actually called Floridian.
It's always that thing where it's like every breath you take has some oxygen molecules that are in the final breath.
We're about
Julius
to sing
Caesar.
A ballad.
Then?
Really?
Yeah. It's like because of how many molecules and atoms there are.
Yeah,
in
about
a breath.
7-8 or something.
Every beach in Florida has got some dead skin from the soles of the glazers' feet, just because of how much they get about. But let's not worry about them. Let's worry about the 4 million men that trust Manscaped
and
in the world.
And rightly so.
Yeah, of course.
Why wouldn't you? Especially when you've got the old 4.0 performance package.
Yeah, let's get ready for hot guy summer by going to manscaped.com and using code DEVILS20 for 20% off and free shipping. We're all hot guys.
Do you know how you keep yourself like
roasted.
A hot guy?
How?
Crop preserver. Yeah?
Nice.
Ball deodorant. Crop reviver toner.
Yeah.
Performance boxer briefs with the anti-shaving... Chafing technology.
Yeah.
And also, when you're using your lawnmower 4.0, you've got the older skin-safe technology.
Reduced nick technology.
Yeah, advanced as well. So not only have you got the 4.0 with the 7,000 RPM motor... Plus the on-off switch, which I love.
Multifunctional.
Is it true, Jay, that you used to shave your pubes using a wood plane like Tommy from Ground Force when he's putting a decking in the 90s?
I wasn't expecting to hear Ground Force today.
When I hit puberty, it was like a school lesson.
Was it?
We'd all get like
woodwork. Get Jay at the front.
Yeah, get me out the front. All the, like, the what is it? What's the thing called?
A wood plane.
Wood plane, that's it.
Wood plane.
Get the other thing you used to do, if I remember right at school, used to
in front of the teacher.
Yeah. You should cover your whole,
there's a lot
cover
of
all your pubes in PVA glue so they turn into one solid block and then just chisel them off with a mallet and chisel.
You don't
have to do that anymore.
No,
because
don't.
Of the lawnmower 4.0.
I used to draw them on with a pen before, hadn't I?
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Now you draw them off with a pen.
No way. Exactly.
No, you tip-ex them off.
The teacher couldn't demo.
I'm glad that you've picked on that story. As in the teacher. Surely the teacher's been CRB'd. He won't be taking part in this. This is completely inappropriate.
Yeah. Once you're downstairs, weeds are taken care of, Jay. Let me introduce you to Manscaped Liquid Formations, yeah? The Crop Preserver, the Crop Reviver, yeah?
Reviving my crops.
What?
I love reviving my crops.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Not to mention, they're perfect. Do you, aftershave as well?
Smells nice,
man. Smells of the refined cologne. Refined, yeah. So make sure you check out Manscaped. Use the code DEVILS20 to get 20% off and free shipping. Check out the Performance Package 4.0. Check out the Lawnmower 4.0. Check out the boxers, the liquid formulations, the nose hair trimmer. They've got everything you ever need to keep your nuts and bolts in service. Manscaped.com. Use the code DEVILS20. Link in the description. Click on it. Right. Should we move on?
Yeah.
Let's talk about something incredibly exciting.
Go on.
Chives.
Chives.
Basically onion grass. Sour cream. Why is no one talking about it more?
It's a good point, that. I think we need to discuss it a bit more.
Yeah, we need more flavoured grass.
We do, don't we?
What are we talking about next?
I think we're talking about the... There we go.
Here he is.
Oh,
this is the topic we've all been waiting for today.
This is... I hate this already from the title of it.
Yeah.
Might as well be ITK.
Might as well be ITK. Steve's like going to be unbearable from now on because he's been quoted by Romano. He's got a bit of news that he went and got himself, bless him, about Steve McLaren joining Manchester United.
Which is good because no one knew that last week.
Yeah, no one knew that. So Steve did a bit of homework, got it confirmed, and then tweeted it and then got quoted by Fabrizio Romano. Have you got the Romano tweet there? Sorry.
So Steve quoted 2 hours ago, Steve McLaren to Manchester United is done. He'll be joining in the coming days, an announcement likely next week, but it's done or complete.
Yeah.
And then Romano, in his wisdom, who Steve's made, by the way, then went on to say, I mean, essentially the same thing, but the key point was how he quoted Stephen Harrison and all this.
Official.
Mitchell van der Gaag and Steve McLaren to be part of new Man United coaching staff confirmed. Full agreement at final stages and set to be signed with both of them. Official statement from McLaren to join United could be next week. As Stephen Housen reports.
It's a frightening last sentence, isn't it?
Hey, Stephen Housen reports.
Stephen Housen reports, imagine
that. So did Romano actually add to that? Did he add to that?
No, he's reported from the no source of Stephen Housen.
Stephen Housen.
Stephen Housen isn't in the office today.
He's fizzed it across the box.
Romano got an end.
Is that what we're going with it?
Yeah.
Are we dissing Romano now?
He's done the right thing.
That's his job. Steve's right,
but I spoke to Steve and he has got it confirmed. There's nothing wrong with this, what he's done.
Yeah.
He spoke to someone who knows. They've confirmed it. So he tweeted that it's happening. It's nailed on. Everyone was saying it's going to happen. It's, you know, this is definitely sort of, there isn't any sort of issues here. But now it's been confirmed and Romano said, look, There's no discrepancies. It's validated. So I kind of get it. And let's not pretend that Romano doesn't do this quite a lot. He quotes quite a lot of people. Obviously, you know, it's usually out and out journalists rather than Steve. But Steve's done his bit of homework, so fair play to him.
Citizen journalism. And it's all just about sources and trusting sources and stuff, isn't it? So if he trusts that Steve's a good source, he's putting his own reputation on the line, you know.
If he wants to risk his career on the whims of a madman, that's up to him.
7.9 million followers.
That's confirmed. Diagnosed.
But just on that news, anyway, other than the fact that Stephen Housen's broke it, are we happy about that? Do we care? Are we bothered? McLaren? Me and you discussed it on Paddock Live, didn't we, the other week?
People forget he's a good coach. I think he had a shocking time at England, but again, being a manager of a national team isn't the same as being a second in command or even a coach at a smaller club.
Exactly, that's why people think Southgate is a good manager.
Yeah, he's done well at that time. He would never get a job as an assistant to any team ever, but Steve McLaren has, and I think he's a good coach. I like the way I've seen a couple of clips and interviews of him talking recently about, and he's not just talking about the old ways of doing stuff. I've seen him talking about the goalkeepers and how they need to play and how they need to be involved and stuff. So, look, he's a good coach. There's a reason Fergie brought him in that long ago and they did a good job. So I think it'll be a good thing. And like, I think Ten Hag wants people who know the club. There is something in that. And people going, oh, we can't, it's not just a job for the boys thing. It's about dealing with the pressure of the media, dealing with how things are going to be after, like I said, you win 2-0 and we are still front page for resting Raphael Varane. Things like that happen and whatever. you've got to have your assistant going, don't worry, they'll do that, move on. Like, you need someone that knows that. And I think that it got to Jose a bit because he didn't have the right people around him now and again, and he lost it. Van Gaal lost it. So
I think you're right. I think Joey losing Rui Faria.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rui Faria was very sort of good at being a connection between him and the players, sort of shielded him from a lot of stuff. And then Jose lost him and fell out with the owners at the same time, and it was just all going wrong. And I think that you are right. And let's not forget as well, you know, you mentioned there with the England thing, McLaren has had press scrutiny like a few other managers. Because when you manage England, you get it from every which way you can, don't you?
And that's almost as high pressure as managing United.
It is. It's almost on that level. It's very similar in terms of the scrutiny you get. So he knows the club. He is a successful coach, as you've said. Knows the Premier League, knows the media, and more importantly, knows Erik ten Hag has worked well with him in the past. So kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Yep. It's a bit weird saying this about United, but a lot of what they're doing recently makes sense. Mm. I don't like it.
He's a Rhinus Michael Award winner in 2010. So he knows what he's doing, Jay.
Really?
He won the Rhinus Michaels Award in 2010, didn't he, Ronaldo?
I had no idea, mate.
It's officially supported by the...
Is it a man who just gives you an award called Rhinus Michaels?
No, Rhinus Michaels is no longer with us, I'm afraid.
Sorry.
It's basically the top manager of the year in Eredivisie. Really? When he won it.
Well, didn't he win the league?
Yeah.
Is he going to bring his Dutch accent with him?
I hope not.
No. I hope he encourages Ten Hag to do an English accent. Yeah. Hello, boys. Gonna sign in.
Why have you Nunes?
Because that's a shit English accent.
Yeah, I want Erik
like Ten Hag was a shit Dutch accent. Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Let's
imagine.
I never see that in first place.
And McCarroll like that.
Yeah, more of it.
You just see him at the back of the room.
Alan Wan-Bissaka.
That
was just an Andy T accent.
I'd love that if Ten Hag.
Yeah,
McCarroll was like.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Made him do the accent. That was good, though, wasn't it? I think Steve McLaren's good.
Yeah,
he's a good coach.
I think, you know what? I don't think he gets enough credit as well because he won the treble as a coach and people just forget that. Right? The time of recording this, anyway. No one's ever done that in England, won the treble.
Fucking hell, have you brought that up?
I know, sorry.
Should we talk about that?
So, let's give him some credit.
That was awful on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Chelsea should have scored 4 goals in the first 10 minutes of the second half.
Yeah. Why?
You know what's mad though? Sorry to talk about it.
Do
you like XG?
Sorry?
Do you like XG? I was surprised to see...
The podcast or the stat?
Both.
The
stat. I like both.
The stat. You've never watched XG.
I have. Seen some clips in that. Go on then. What about XG?
Because you've never watched it. You're in it and you've never watched it.
I would have watched it back. I was there.
That's true. Great point.
It's like you when you watch all your news.
I do because I critique them with a pen and paper and
with
say,
your trousers down.
Do that.
I don't think.
You critique them 5 times a night.
I don't think it's that. I think it's ego.
You critique him into a tissue. Right, Drew Fourier with the super chat says, "Love the banter. Great. Next time Steve's on the podcast, I'm spamming ITK in the chat. Ronaldo, when's the aquarium trip? Have you sorted that out yet?
No.
What's this? What's this in reference to?
He's never been to an aquarium.
Really?
Steve's going to take him and film it.
It'll be interesting. Maybe I'll go with a hallucinogen. I might do that. Spice up.
Is SeaWorld, Sea Life still at Trafford Centre?
It might be, actually. Opposite, I think he's going to go to Blue Planet, though.
Oh, yeah.
Do you live near there, yeah?
Yeah, I live in Eccles. Why?
Is that where the snitches are?
I need to hear that. I don't even know what this is.
He's trying to make it out like I've gone QE on him and that. Do you know what I mean? He's going to get me beat up. Snitches get stitches, bro. I did not snitch on you.
Why have you snitched on him?
I've not snitched on anyone,
no
ever.
Snitching.
Big up the paddock. And John Shin says, talking to you. Thank you very much. Ronaldo. Oh, no, I can't read that.
Why'd you even start reading that?
Why?
Who are you guys having as captain next year? That's something. I wonder if that'll change.
Donny van der Beek.
Do you think it will? I think it'd almost be good for Maguire if we did switch that around. Give it Ronaldo.
I think he's got to be done the right way.
Sorry, what is going
on?
Callum
Skamen eating
a
chocolate bar like
brownie.
He's delivering a baby. What are you doing?
Why did you get forceps?
Yeah, honestly.
It's just taking so long to open that as well, trying to be quiet, and it just made it so prolonged. You could definitely hear that on the microphones.
I've never seen as much concentration in anyone's face as in his face when he was taking out that brownie. He was, yeah.
With Callum, there's a bit of a different glow to him though these days, isn't
there? There is.
Yeah.
He's got a spring in his step on it.
Would you change captains next season? Or do you think Ten Hag will?
If he's got any sons, he will.
I think.
Yeah. You've got to, haven't you, now?
Yeah.
We've tried, like, no disrespect to Maguire. He does get some stick he doesn't deserve. It hasn't worked as captain. And I think we need to draw a line under it. And I think a new manager is the ideal opportunity to do that without it being as bad.
Who would you like to be captain then?
It can only be Ronaldo. I genuinely can't think of anyone else who could possibly him take it.
And the De Gea one didn't work out.
Could also be Bruno. Bruno's you've been your first name on the team sheet under Ollie Ragnick and might
why wouldn't you want De Gea as captain?
Because there's no guarantees playing.
Over who?
Ronaldo. Oh, in net, you mean? No, I don't think De Gea's been good enough over the last 4 years to warrant being
captain. Had a conversation 20 minutes ago. We don't know if there's a guarantee that Ronaldo will be playing if we get Nunes.
This is the thing. I think that it's a tough scenario because I think that you've got to take it off in the right way and not just do that because you're not binning off Maguire. Like I said, he will play. So to take the captaincy off him, you've got to manage it in some way. You can't just take it off and say, you're not captain, you're no good. But it's the case of giving it to the right person.
Why does it have to be like some sort of soft takeaway?
Because we also paid £80 million for him and we're not going to get that back. So we're not getting rid of him. So we need a player that isn't broken like Phil Jones has been for the past 6 years. If you do that to Maguire, you're going down the same route. You can't destroy someone. Because if you do that, you're wasting an asset that Man United have. And he isn't that bad. If you have to play a back three, he's pretty good. He's played a majority of his time Man United.
If you've got to preface something before saying a player is good, is if you have to play this,
you can't get rid of him. You won't get rid of him next season because we're not going to sell him. So you have to keep him in the squad. He has to play some role. I'm not saying he should be captain of Man United, but if you just take the captaincy off him and go, you're shit, that's it.
So you think Maguire has to play because
I say you can't ruin the lad. You can't, if you ruin a player that's cost Manchester United Football Club £80 million, it's a waste.
So you're more
bothered about ruining Maguire's feelings rather than Maguire ruining United's chances of being a good team.
You can do both. Feelings. You don't have to, you can take the band off him and not play him every week, which is what Alex is suggesting. That doesn't mean you have to go, we're having this because you're fucking shit, mate. Take the risk of him being a disaster away by not being the captain, not necessarily playing every week, but you don't have to also go out of your way to make him feel like shit.
Being used as an excuse for some of his performances as well.
Not, who's doing that?
Because people are suggesting it's the whole pressure and all that of it.
But it doesn't help.
I think that with the thing with Maguire, I've always said if you take the captaincy off him, you're going to wreck him and his confidence in that. But I think that we're past that now. We're past it.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to have any effects on his confidence whether you take it off him or not. I think his confidence has been shot.
There's a way to go about it, though.
And I think that if Ten Hag comes in and goes, listen, this is my captain from now on. Every captain we've suggested here is flawed, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
Ronnie's flawed because you've made the point you don't even know if he's going to start every week. De Gea's flawed because you made the point you don't even know if he's going to start. Also, he's quite a quiet person.
Yeah, and also he's not been that great for the last three or four years.
We've all made the point about Maguire. Yeah,
that's an interesting statement because if it weren't for Ronaldo's surgery end of the season, De Gea might have still been player of the season for United.
But that's, that's not... Would different you to what I've said, though, is it? De Gea has only been a better than average goalkeeper statistically for like 6 months of the last 3 years. Every other year, overall, he's been in the bottom half of save percentage and save to expected saves, other than the first 6 months of this season since the World Cup in 2018.
What I mean.
Isn't good enough.
He's flawed as an option.
I'm not saying he's shit, but I wouldn't want him as captain.
This is my point about him, is everyone's got a flaw. Bruno is a flawed captain because Bruno, I love a bit of, you know, passion for want of a better expression.
Because you need a captain.
He just loses his mind all the time. And is, you know, there's a difference between like Rooney used to get in the ref's ear and just spending half the game just berating the referee constantly. Yeah. I think like Bruno sometimes needs to rein it in. So there's no standout candidate. There's no way you go, that's your captain. Yeah. And even with the players we're linked with, you know, Antony, Timber, who else is it? De Jong. Are they coming straight in and being captain?
It's a concern that you can't even pick one out.
I'm not saying
like Ronaldo's perfect.
There is every single one is
he's
four,
the most
the
capable. Ronaldo's taking Ronaldo's the pressure of being captain.
The obvious option.
Yeah.
This is the opposite of the great United teams. You go in 94, you had Bruce, you had Pallister, you had Keane, you had Ince, you had Sparky, you had Eric. Yeah. Captains all of them. Do you know what I mean? Even Denis Serving could have been your captain. No one's batting an eyelid. 99, it's a similar thing. Stam could be your captain.
Schmeichel
could be your captain, not on my watch. Yeah. do you know what I mean? You know, right, Giggs could have been your captain. Yeah, you go back to, 2008, Rio, Vidic, Evra, Giggs again, Gary Neville. You know what I mean? There's a whole team there. Now, we're sat here, four of us, arguing about who's the least crap offer as captain. And that's not saying the crap players are not, but as a captain, No one's made that armband their own.
No.
No one's like,
when you talk about being a leader, I think Ronaldo is the
every
greatest
single
leader
one of those players
team.
We've mentioned have wore that.
I don't think De Gea is a leader. Even at his best, 2016, 2015, De Gea.
That's not him.
He was the best goalkeeper in the world, but he wasn't a leader.
He's not that guy. I don't think you can make him that guy at 30.
No.
He's not. Maguire, we've spoke about Bruno.
He's not a leader either, is he?
And it is a bit sad, and I think maybe if he starts, maybe it's Ronaldo because of who he is. The stature, it's Cristiano Ronaldo. Maybe that's the thing. I don't know. There's no obvious answer, and it is depressing. Because another thing that depresses me is, you look at some of the other teams around us, and they've got a few options, haven't they?
But at the same time, you look at Liverpool, their captain doesn't even get in their first team every week.
Who is it, Jordan
Henderson? He doesn't start every week. No. In fact, if you pick their best 11.
The thing with him is, though, he kind of fills that role, doesn't he?
He does.
He is he their captain really well type the person. Captain. And I don't rate him as a player that much. I think he's okay. I think I think he's done very well to be in that team and be surrounded by proper world-class players. But he is a captain. He gives off that vibe, and I kind of get that. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, even City, they don't have like loads of captain type captains, but they have lots of players who are so good they could wear an armband, like Diaz, Laporte, De Bruyne. They're players where you can go, they're mint. They're one of the best players in the world at their position.
Even
so,
you could make Edison.
I feel like they just give it anyone.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter because
I might have seen Bernardo Silva captain.
Like you said, Jay, almost at the time when, in the mid-2000s, after Keane had left, there could have been five or six captains. Mm. And really, I bet it wasn't like one of them tells everyone else off. It wasn't like Neville was just destroying everyone in training and everyone else is below him. There will have been an attitude spread across the entire dressing room that was a certain standard, and any of them could adhere to that.
That's well said, because you go back to even before that, Brian Robson's probably the greatest captain I've ever seen. In that team, you have leaders. Norman Whiteside is a leader. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like Paul Maguire, who's quiet, but as a player, he was amazing. It's so underrated. You had that, and it's like now, you haven't. And I think that this is the thing, I always love watching those, you watch those old games where you got like Rio and Vidic and Evra and Brown or whoever or Neville lining up when we're facing a free kick. They're all talking.
Yeah.
They're all shouting. Then you've got Van der Sar who's shouting. It's like five people. Constantly, do you know what I mean? Nothing's like, no one's sort of shaking it. They're all taking responsibility. Now you watch us lining up, and you've got 10 players offside, and it's like, what the hell is this? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it's I feel for Eric Ten Hag because he's got his work out.
Yes. Who's your Wally of the week, Jay?
Oh, do you know what?
I didn't want prepared again.
I don't want to make it political.
Oh.
Someone said a minute ago.
There's a clip.
Can't
wait
for Jay to bring his Tory out as the Wally of the week.
Had a podcast where Jay says, I don't want to make it political and just have that all.
Daniel Kirk with the super chat said, can't wait to see what Tory Jay has for Wally of the Week. Also thoughts on Ten Hag's Ronaldo comments. We kind of talked about.
What's the last name?
Daniel Kirk.
Daniel Kirk.
He said, love the channel.
I never heard of this idiot until this morning, but she's gone right to the top of the list. Rachel McLean, who says that, if you're skint and you're struggling to eat and all that.
No, you've got budget problems. Well, you've got budget problems. Such a piss take of a statement in the first
maybe
place.
You can take more hours on or get a better job.
Yeah.
So, that your girl there, Elsie, who's riding a bus to keep warm, who's 70-odd years old, why don't you think about, instead of riding that bus, why don't you go get another job?
Yeah.
Something lazy.
And also, the term budget problems is so fucking annoying. It's not a budget problem. People just don't have any money.
Yeah.
It's not like, I could have split it differently. Some people don't have enough money to budget differently.
Yeah. It's just...
And also, who's going to do all the jobs that person leaves? Who's going to do all the low-paid working jobs?
And also, that doesn't solve anything now. No. Do you know what I mean? There's no way, there's no answer.
Why don't you be a banker like me and my mates? That's what she said. I know loads of people and they're not poor. Yeah, none of the people mate, I've ever met are poor, so why are you?
His dad owns a load of land.
Yeah.
It's called Ken.
All you have to do is like, I don't know, be born wealthy. Yeah. And then you're never poor. Why don't you try that?
Stop worrying about it.
Fucking shite.
Yeah. Good. And we see you bought into that. Well done.
Yeah.
What are you making at?
I'm trying to think of my Wally of the Week.
I'm going Mahrez.
I was going to say Mahrez.
Mahrez missing penalties. That win is Manchester City the league. Which Mendes?
Because people are going to say, as a keeper, it's a bit of a lottery though with your save.
I saw your tweet at the time.
But I was unhappy with Mendy and with the first five pens because I think two of them were savable heights.
He got his hands to him, didn't he?
His hands to him, and he was just a bit arthritis wrist.
Maybe that's why he got struck off, didn't he?
Rheumatoid the first one. In the net.
Yeah.
Do you not think Tuchel was a bit weird with his tactics as well?
Yeah. I just don't think Chelsea have been that good. If United weren't this bad, everyone would be going on about how bad Chelsea's season's been. Compared to what that last season was, where they won the Champions League, he's kicked on, best coach in the world, all this kind of stuff.
He was overrated after that, though.
And then
people did over-egg how good he was.
Yeah, he signed a striker. And they finished nowhere near in the league.
He was his usual self.
That's a disaster of a season for Lukaku.
It's weird though, they started really well though as well, Chelsea.
And then Lukaku got...
Yeah, he got to run the games.
I'm hoping that's what happens with Haaland at City.
I love your optimism on how
the balance of things.
He's been consistent with your... You've been consistent on Haaland, got to say, how he's injury prone, he's not going to fit in the Premier League.
He's ruining the wage structure.
Yeah, he's ruining the wage structure.
I'm just being optimistic.
He's like taking it to another level. I'm proud of
go in there and do what Lukaku did at Chelsea, upset the apple cart, be on more wages than anyone else and not be worth it.
Do you know
it.
What I love about it as well? You've got that Stephen Housen attitude of you're convinced. Like, if I give you a lie detector test, you'd pass it.
Yeah.
You're not like, it's not
stick with it.
I don't think Haaland will make City that much better. That's what I'm saying.
Fair play, yeah.
Alex, Wally of the Week?
I'm going to go for the guy who tweeted off UEFA's account saying that Trent is the youngest player to win all four trophies he can win, forgetting Alphonso Davies, Busquets and about half a dozen other players. He just went, I forgot about them because Liverpool.
Because they play for Liverpool.
Someone else did it. Some ESPN or someone did. Klopp. Klopp's won every trophy he's ever gone for.
Well, no, he's not. Well,
was that Scouser crying at the Europa League final having a laugh then? Did they win that one? Because I'm pretty sure they lost that game.
No, there was one that they tweeted but then took down about him being the first since Fergie to win the FA Cup, the League Cup, basically all the trophies in the same tenure or something dumb like that. And I was like, and he literally took it down 2 minutes later. Basically, whatever they can, the media, whether it be Twitter,
and also
print it to make Liverpool look great or to make Klopp look great.
But the thing is, though, you've got to remember, the people doing this are like 22-year-old researchers that people have just got that are looking at the same websites anyone here is looking at.
What's wrong with being 22?
Nothing, but I'm saying it's not like someone who's been most of these accounts.
No,
but what I mean is, I'm talking about in the past, people who did stats for big companies that are based around stats like in the cricket, in football, in whatever. They've people who've got massive spreadsheets that used to be written down on pieces of paper that are now fucking spreadsheets on the laptop they've had for 30 years. Most of these stats that you see week in, week out retweeted are big companies that hire people that just Google stuff. Stats weren't even accurate until about 8 years ago.
I do feel, because I remember when I used to do like court reporting and I used to have to tweet about the case.
Yeah.
And it'd take me about 10 minutes of double checking like the tweet that had like 8 words in it.
Yeah.
I was so nervous that if you do anything wrong, you can get sacked or, in the worst case scenario, I know it sounds melodramatic, but you can end up going to jail. And I was like, you know, is this right? Is this right? And then you've got, like you say, you probably got some intern that you're getting shouting at.
I'm not blaming that person, by the way.
No, I'm not blaming the person.
I'm blaming, it's like we need in-depth, detailed stats from all of history when really no one knows any stats before 1992. No one does. They just, a lot of them aren't available. And no one's going back through the fucking libraries and, you know, catalogues of
results. This is why people
say
like football didn't start in 1992. You're right. Because I think it was Jason Burt from The Telegraph did a tweet saying Klopp is the greatest manager since Fergie.
Yeah.
And I think if you think Klopp's already, he might one day be up there, but if you're putting him ahead of Busquets, I've got some magic beans to sell you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just ridiculous.
I know. And the stats and it's all, you can't find footage, you can't find stats, you can't find match reports unless you're going to the club's memorabilia section or, you know, local libraries and
hope
shit.
You can find
a lot of
chronicles.
It just doesn't exist online.
And some of it, some of it's inaccurate. Like Transfermarkt and Sky, not Sky, so the official Premier League account had different stats for Scholes.
Yeah.
One season, like one of them had him had 8 assists, one of them had 7. And I had to check, because I was doing something where I checked it and went through his assists, like physically watching him.
Yeah.
And I think it was the Premier League one that was wrong.
Yeah.
He got 4 against Forest and they gave him 3. Yeah. Well, you had to go into it and spend like something like half an hour because I was arguing with someone on Twitter. And I did it, you know. But, you know, if you're like, you've got 5 minutes to do that, then even whichever one you pick, someone will pick the other one and also, go, you're wrong.
And not just are stats better, you know, more stats are recorded now, but stats aren't haven't always been recorded the same way.
No.
So for a long time, possession was how many passes are made in total, how many of your team made, and what percentage of the overall passes did your team make, that's your possession. So it doesn't factor in how long each team has on the ball, how long each player has per pass. It's literally overall passes divided by how many passes your team made, and that's possession. And that has changed in recent years. So like for a long time, possession stats were just a guess based on the number of passes. So anyway, stats, fun. My Wally of the Week is Mahrez. I'm not having that. He might have cost City the title by missing that. I know that they shouldn't have been 2-0.
You said it earlier, if he scored that,
that's game over.
It means that they'd only need a draw game of the season.
Does Pep go?
No, it means they could lose as long as they didn't lose by.
Whoa!
Does Pep go if they lose?
No, does he? You know, he's saying no one's bigger than the club. He is bigger than that club. He is.
He actually is bigger than the
club. He could lose the next 10 games or whatever. They're not going to sack him because it's like they gave his brother a football.
So wait, as in sacked or him just leaving?
I don't know, but obviously them winning nothing this season.
No.
But that just means they've won the lot, which is just.
It gives us some fodder, doesn't it, to have a laugh with?
Yeah, but no, it doesn't.
Real Madrid could still win the Champions League.
And also, I remember this argument came up a few years ago where it was like a few City fans saying, "Oh, is it time for him to go?" Whatever. Not many, to be honest with you.
No,
but it's like I don't like Pep Guardiola, but there's no denying what he's done there. It's, pretty. Phenomenal.
Honestly, be careful what you wish for if you're a City fan.
He's got 100 points in all the season.
What's
it's just
next?
Like, come on,
like,
what? Do you know what I mean? I know they were winning titles under Pellegrini and Mancini, but not like that.
There were people that wanted Fergie out in 2003 and 2010.
Remember that article by Oliver Holt that is it time for him to go?
Yeah.
And then we went on to win 3 titles on the Champions League.
Literally.
Yeah, when Jose came in, what was it? He conceded 15 goals.
Yeah.
It looked like Fergie might be struggling.
You had Jose,
up.
You had Benitez winning the Champions League.
Yeah.
Wenger's not long off his invincible season where he drew 12 games and lost 6 in all competitions.
Past it, Fergie.
And then people going, Fergie's the old school. That's done now. That era's done. And then he goes on to be the most successful manager for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
It's like.
Mad.
Guardiola would be okay, unfortunately.
Dickhead.
I know.
You, not him. No, I'm joking.
Either works.
Right, Ronaldo, where can people find you?
You can find me on a bird out. You can find me. Is it Ronaldo Brown?
Sometimes
I get it mixed up because my Insta, it's all very different. But it's Ronaldo Brown _98 on Twitter. You can find me.
Can I plug 3 Points in the Gaff podcast where we had Carl Anker on from The Athletic? Great chat with him. It went on for about an hour. Such an insightful guy. So you can find that,
out
on Spotify, iTunes. Megaphone, I think, is it? I don't know.
Megaphone.
All the audio. It's audio only. I'll put a community tab link thing in it. And don't forget as well, there was a link in the description for that charity game on the 31st of July I mentioned for a good cause there, raising money for the British Heart Foundation in memory of Steve Coy, I think it was, who passed away recently.
If I'm searching for that, is it through the number 3 or the letter, the digit 3? Am I writing it or am I?
That's a real good question. I don't even know. I'll find that out.
Alex, just follow me on Twitter. Baggers_Alex, where I just take the piss out of Stephen Anderson for doing.
You don't want to search for Alex. You can just go on Stephen Anderson's Twitter and then go on the replies, and he'll be in there.
Or Patterson's Twitter, and just saying he's got no mates.
Jay's searching for his own podcast. It's
3, as in it's spelled out 3. It's on the sports social.
The word 3, not the number
3. I reckon SEO would have come up anyway. Surely.
Yeah.
3 points in the gap.
You can find it where you find our podcast, can't you, on the sports social?
You can, exactly.
Yeah. And check me out on the Sloppy Joe's podcast on YouTube.
When's that out?
The new one's out tomorrow. We've already got 3 episodes out, so check that out if you haven't already. Sloppy Joe's podcast. That's going to be all from us today. Thank you very much to everyone at home for watching.
Thanks to everyone as well who got involved in the comments. Some great comments there. Make sure you're checking out what other video we had out today.
We've had the news out.
News for you.
There's also one coming up at 7 in there.
Yeah, later on, we've got 10 Hag's midfield targets with Adam McCullough.
Adam McCullough as well.
Frankie De Jong action there.
I'm off tomorrow because I'm doing some uni stuff. Who's doing the news in the morning?
That'll be me.
Are you doing it live from here or are you doing it from Old Trafford?
Live from here.
Right.
Live.
So Joe will be here in the morning with the news. Make sure you're checking out all these guys and make sure you're checking out all the other videos we've got. Don't forget as well to hit like, share, and subscribe. This has been the Paddock Podcast. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.